It's good to see you this evening, and you're very welcome to our meeting. I hope to do 5 public talks in the month of March, and we'll be dealing with most of the sort of main areas of prophetic ministry. Next Thursday, we'll be talking about the Day of the Lord, and that is a day whenever God is going to act on this earth. The Day of the Lord. It coincides with what we call the tribulation period. And it seems to be a day whenever God is going to act on this earth. And we'll be looking at that, 1 Thessalonians 4, 5, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. On the 15th, I'll be looking at the famous, could I use the word famous, 4 horses of the apocalypse. It seems that they're used quite a bit by the media to illustrate maybe happenings and that type of thing, terrible happenings, these 4 horses. I'll be looking at them from this. They're found in Revelation chapter 6, and I'll be looking at what they mean, trying to get what they mean. It's interesting, on the 22nd of March, Jesus says in John 14, here's what he said. He's going away from his disciples, you see. He's going back to heaven after coming here. And he says to those disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, you see. And sometimes and many times we wondered what that place would be like, you see. It's interesting too, you could phrase that phrase another way. I go to prepare you for the place. And that's relevant too, because before Jesus could do that, could prepare a place, he needed to go to the cross at Calvary. So I'll be looking at that from particularly John 14. And of course, there is a very described place in Revelation 21, 22. The details, the lovely details of the actual place that we're going to go to. It's amazing how the Bible describes these things. And then on the last night, I'm looking at what's called in Daniel 12, in Daniel 11, we have the phrase, the time of the end. And that's in the place at the end of the tribulation period, approaching what's called Armageddon, which is the Battle of Armageddon. You're invited to these meetings. I would ask you maybe to bring people. I find as I do these talks that people who are not Christians in that sense are still interested in these things. Still, they wonder what's going to happen. And then as you look at the world today and see some of the things that are happening, you sort of realize that we're in... Now, Paul, writing to Timothy, puts it this way. He says, this know, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. That word perilous means dangerous times. Dangerous times. Now, I'm going to read, first of all, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Gospel of Luke, and we're at chapter 21. Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Get myself organized here a wee bit. Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Jesus is the one who is speaking in this, and we're going to start reading at verse 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and starting to read at verse 24. And he's talking about the Jewish people here. It says, they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. That's what happened to Jews. This is AD 70. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Now notice this word, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, that's the times of the Gentiles for Jerusalem. Now, we know this, that in 1967, the Six-Day War, that the armies entered Jerusalem, and they actually took the whole city, you see. And as we sit here tonight, it's amazing. The whole city is under the domain of the Jewish people. Israel, of course, the Jewish people came back in 1948 and became a nation in the Middle East. But at this moment, Jerusalem is now under the auspices of the Jewish people. It happened eventually in 1967. And Jesus said, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And it seems that that prophecy there has been fulfilled. Look at verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. You know, we've seen that quite a bit recently. I believe we're beginning to see that. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then, just at that point, shall they see the Son of Man, that's Jesus, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, I just want to say a little point here, because that's Jesus coming to the earth. Now, very quickly, just look at Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19. And there's a very interesting point from this. I'm going to go to that point where Jesus is coming in power and glory. It's verse 11 of Revelation 19. Revelation 19. And here's what it says. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and him that sat upon, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judge and make war. It says, verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So this is Jesus coming to the earth. You see, you can see that. That's what we have here in Luke 21. We have Jesus coming in power and glory. But then if you look up the page there, if you look at the very top, you see that we're in heaven. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people. Where are they? They're in heaven. Then go down to verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. That's Jesus, of course. This is what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And his wife hath made herself ready. I suppose if I was to ask this audience who the wife is, I know that very quickly a lot of you would shout out, that's the church, isn't it? And if you notice this carefully, here's the church in heaven before Jesus comes down to the earth. This is the point I want to make, you see? And you say to me, how did the church get up there? I'll be explaining to you towards the end of the meeting how that exactly that happened. That the church, because I do believe that we have a situation where Jesus is going to come to the air, first of all, to take away the church, take people who are saved up into the air. Not, first of all, to the earth. About 7 years later, he's going to come to the earth. And that's what I'm saying. Now, we'll go back to Luke 21 just for a verse here. It says, verse 28 and verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's his coming to the earth. Now, look at verse 28. It says, and when these things, that's all he's talking about here, men's hearts failing them for fear, the sea and the waves roaring, nations in perplexity, things coming on the earth that bring fear, when these things begin to come to pass. Now, I believe this, that we're, maybe if you could pretend we're the church period, or the day of grace, and that wall there, beyond that wall to the next wall, is the tribulation period, you see? And in Luke 21, those terrible signs, men's hearts failing them for fear, the sea and the waves roaring, you see that in Revelation 6 to Revelation 19. You get the idea of what that was going to happen in the tribulation period. We're in the day of grace, you see. But here's what happens. Some of the things that are happening in the tribulation period are beginning to happen today. Now get that. When these things begin to come to pass. Now in Revelation 8, it says that there's going to be an asteroid hit the earth. We're told that in Revelation 8 with regard to one of the trumpets, think of the fourth trumpet. An asteroid from space will actually hit the earth. And do you remember about 2 years ago, there was an asteroid went past the earth, about 30,000 miles. It missed the earth by 30,000 miles. That's a very small amount of space in space. That asteroid was close to the earth. And I'm trying to think when I heard it, I said to myself, well, that's going to happen in Revelation 8. It's actually going to hit. That's a bit of a warning that what's going to happen in the tribulation period, and we're getting an idea today, a warning today, of what's going to happen in that tribulation time. You see, so, and I'm going to look at quite a few things here tonight. And I want now to go back to another lovely book, Matthew 24, Matthew chapter 24. And I'm saying tonight that I'm not going to say anything that's outside the Word of God. I do this in prophetic meetings. We stick very closely to what the Bible says in these matters. And Matthew 24 is pretty similar to Luke 21. And it's Jesus speaking again. Now, we'll just go to verse 13. This clock goes very quickly here. It goes faster in Armagh than it does down in Portadown. Look at verse 13 of Matthew 24. And as he sat, that's Jesus, upon the Mount of Olives, in Acts chapter 1, he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us. Now, this is important. Jesus is, these disciples are asking an important question. Tell us, when shall these things be? Now, that's what's happening in verses 1 and 2, which is the destruction of Jerusalem. He says there's not going to be one stone left upon another in the temple. You see, the lovely temple. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? Now, Jesus is speaking here, and if you look at verse 4, he says, answered, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. Be not troubled, things must come to pass. The end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences. Oh, I noticed that word, pestilences, because there's a terrible sort of pestilence on its way from the east. You know, at Armageddon, there's going to be an army come down into the Middle East from the Far East, an army of 200 million. But at the moment, there's a terrible virus which is traveling from the east into the west. And there are many, I was listening to a news broadcast today, which said that they feel that, this is what they said now, that a lot of people are very, very extravagant about their views. He said that he believed that it would reach the whole world. You know, this terrible virus that's traveling. That's what he said anyway, but we can see it moving westerly from China. And we could look at many things. I could look at pestilence, I could look at AIDS, I could look at lots of other terrible things that are happening in our world today. Even in Africa, the vast millions of locusts that landed have come into the sort of northern section of Africa, millions of them, eating up the crops of those dear people who need that food for their sustenance. And right across the world, you have, even we have things, we have the Ebola virus, we have cancer, we have AIDS, diseases that haven't maybe got so much of a cure, particularly cancer. There's going to be even more than this. If I was to take you to Revelation 8, Revelation 6, Revelation 16, in the what we call the tribulation period, the drastic things that are going to happen on the earth I could read those, and it's dreadful what's going to happen. But then it says, not only pestilences, but earthquakes in diverse places. And verse 8 says, all these are the beginnings of sorrows. You see, beginnings of sorrows. Now, I want to do this. I'll move this. I've forgotten nearly about what I'm at here. This thing has come apart. I talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem there, but one of the things that's very prominent in Jerusalem is the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim mosque. Here's this wall around Jerusalem. But it's actually on the temple site in Jerusalem. And if the Jews are going to build their temple, and they will, because the Antichrist is going to sit in it in 2 Thessalonians 2, this is on the site. But then what happened was, you see, that temple that was there was this beautiful temple here. This was Herod's temple. There was Solomon's temple, then Zerubbabel's temple, and this was Herod's temple. That temple was destroyed in AD 70. And there's what I talked about, Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives, and those disciples came and they said, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? That's the destruction of Jerusalem. We could just look at that briefly. Now, I want to go through this. You see, we will be going through this. I'm going to take the word signs itself and try and sort of illustrate what's happening through that particular word. And, of course, the first letter of signs is S, you know. You have the days of Noah. You have the days of Noah, the days of Lot. Eating, drinking, marriage, buying, selling, planning, building. And we're told in Luke 17, and I'll not go there, but it's when you see the days of Lot, you know that the coming of Jesus Christ is near. Now, the days of Lot are described in Luke 17. I would put them under what you call moral signs. What happened there? Well, it wasn't too pleasant. And I have a lot of young people here tonight, and I'm not going to mention that too much. But when you talk about the days of Lot and you talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about, what's coming into our country today and is fast spreading in our country, the days of Lot. And Jesus himself says, when you see the days of Lot, when you see those signs, you know that my coming is near. He says that in Luke 17. And of course, the days of Noah, we're told in the days of Noah, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What a description. Listen to it. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, only evil continued. And that's in the days of Noah, just before the flood. And then, of course, we looked at famines, pestilences, earthquakes from Matthew 24. I didn't mention the what's coming here, seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, occult practices and false cults and this type of thing. You see, the European Union, about every 6 years, issue a sort of a sheet on happenings in Europe. One of the things that came up in the last edict from Europe was this. The rise in what they called was witchcraft. That's an amazing thing. And what they said was this, that it's amazing that we use this word now, which was a Middle Ages word, because in the Middle Ages, what they used to do, they used to burn witches. You know, that's what they did. People, women who, particularly women, who practiced those type of occult things were burnt, you know. And they said, it's amazing that people who are in the 21st century, good thinking people, well educated people, that what should rise in the midst of all this is the doctrines of the devil, or doctrines of demons, as they call it, you know, that type of thing. It's an amazing thing. And as you look at that, and that's just a fleeting glimpse, but I'm going to move now to the next area. Now, where am I here? Yes, this next one. That's it now. I have to get used to working this thing. Those signs I've looked at briefly, there's lots more I could look at, but found in Matthew, of course, and found in Luke 21, and found in 2 Timothy and that Matthew 24. Now, Israel. Israel became a nation in the 14th of May, 1948. Now, there are over 20 scriptures towards the end of the Old Testament that predicted that the Jewish people, they were scattered at the destruction of Jerusalem that we looked at there. Back in AD 70, they were scattered worldwide. And in the 20th and 21st century, they've come back from all parts of the world to the Middle East and formed the nation of Israel. Amazing. In 1906, there was just 20,000 Jews there. Now there's almost 8 million Jews in the Middle East, in what we call Israel. Now, there's three things were to happen in Israel. They had to reclaim the land. They've done that. They have to the repossession of Jerusalem. They have done that. They did that in 1967. They did that in 1948. The third thing that the Jewish people biblically were set to do was the rebuilding of their temple, which was destroyed in AD 70. And of course, that's one that hasn't happened. Now, I tell you, when you look at those 20 scriptures towards the end of the Old Testament, 20 of them that say that the Jews were to come back to their land and once again be a nation on the maps of the world, and then you realize that that has happened, that has come about, and that that was to happen in last days, or the time of the end, as described in those verses. This is one of the signs that would show us that we're living in the last days, as Timothy talks about. Those signs would show us, those social signs, moral signs, those many signs that we looked at. But then I could look at what are called geographical signs. And we've already mentioned some of those: earthquakes, famines, signs in the sun. We've talked in the past about what are called blood moons, signs in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, tidal waves, cyclones. Now, you see, that might seem a bit heavy to talk about that tonight, but that will happen, as we talked about, in the tribulation period. We're in the day of grace, and a lot of the happenings that are going to happen there, we can see beginning now. And, of course, the weather is affected, sun is affected. We get our heat and our light from the sun, but the sun does have its sun storms. And the sun storms do affect the earth and the earth's atmosphere and that type of thing. And it affects our ozone layer. Now, the ozone layer is a gas that sits in the 20 miles to 40 miles up, right around the globe, right around the earth. A gas. And what it does is amazing. The ozone layer is sitting there 20 to 40 miles up. And you know what it does? It filters out from the sun certain deadly rays that would kill you within a week if they got through. You know, you've sat out too long in the sun, haven't you? And you've got burnt. And in certain parts of the world at the moment, there's a place called Bondi Beach in Australia, and a lot of people have developed skin cancer through lying out on Bondi Beach. And they do think that there must be a hole in the ozone layer, because those sun's rays could give you skin cancer. And if anything happened, the ozone layer, which will happen in the tribulation period, because in Revelation 16, people are burnt from the sun. And they develop sores on their bodies and that type of thing. That's described in Revelation 16. So you can see the Bible is very, very, very good on that. But we'll move on. We now come to the nations. So we're following this S-I-G-N, this signs business here. We're following that. Now, what I'm going to look at here, I could look at Israel, which is a nation. Obviously, we've looked at that. But what about the EU? Now, in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 and in Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, we could talk about all those. Those would take a week to do. There's so much in those prophecies. But in Daniel 7 in particular, there's four beasts, you see, that rise up. And then what the prophet says is this, that out of the fourth beast, which is the Roman Empire, with its 27 states. It's interesting that there's 27 states in the EU at the moment. But there was 27 states in the Roman Empire. And out of those 27 states, there's going to come 10 nations. You see, Daniel 7 and verse 24 says that out of the Roman Empire, these 10 nations will arise, and out of those 10 nations will rise the Antichrist, or the beast, you see. That's what's going to happen. The Bible predicts that. It could happen that the Antichrist could be the president of Europe. That probably would be a good position for him. And if that is going to happen, I'm glad I'm out of it. If you see what I mean. But we could look at Europe, of course, the EU. We could look at the King of the South, the Arab nations. You see, I could look at that. They have the Arab League now. They're a specific. In Daniel 11, we have reference to this King of the South. And then the King of the North, we look at Ezekiel 38 and 39. I believe that's the Russian forces, which in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it's not often mentioned, but Russia plus the Muslim nations will invade Israel. Notice that. And if Israel wasn't there, they couldn't invade her. But she's there, and she's sitting ready for that invasion. Then you have the kings of the East. I was talking earlier about the terrible virus that seems to be coming from the East. But here's kings of the East, and there's 200 million of them in Revelation 9. Specifically mentioned, and those they will come down. We'll see that when we look at Armageddon, because that happens at Armageddon when they come right down into the Middle East. I'm not going to look at this one so much, but that word S, the translation of that word S is science. The Hebrew word there is scientific knowledge and technology in Greek, in the Greek language. Now, if I was to think, I'm going to go into my pocket for this pie. You see, a smartphone. And I could start in and look at it and make it go to silent or whatever it is. And if you looked at that, that's amazing. Few centimeters long, 3-4 centimeters wide, and it's a computer. And you could. I remember when I first got one of these about 10 years ago, and my daughter she wanted to go to somewhere in Belfast, and she lifted this phone, and she directed me exactly to the door in Belfast, in Glengormley, in North Belfast, through the streets of Belfast. From this idea here, you see? She directed me right through. And that comes from a satellite in outer space. That's an amazing piece of technology. And I could talk about the technology of our modern society, because we're told in Daniel 12 that knowledge And that's particularly scientific knowledge and technology. Knowledge shall be increased, it says in Daniel 12 and verse number 4. You see, all signs of the end time. Now, what I'm going to do now is, and I have it down here somewhere. You see, that's the verse that I had from Luke 21. And when these things, probably in the tribulation period area, some of them today, when these things, notice it, begin to come to pass, just starting, we can see it starting. What do you do? What does every Christian do? I'm looking across an audience tonight, and because I've gone through all this stuff, maybe some of you have got a little bit downhearted, you know? But the Bible says this, look up, look up, lift up your heads. Don't get all down, because what I've been going through shows us that we're in the last days and that Jesus is coming. So we shouldn't be downhearted. We should be glad, because very soon, you know, there's a lovely wee chorus. I'll nearly get you to sing it. Do you know that chorus, soon and very soon? Do you know it, brother? Could we sing that? We are going to see the King. Let's smile. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon. We are. Let's have it now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. So it says, look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption, that word too is your deliverance. Your deliverance draweth nigh. It's near, you see. I would put across this last phrase, listen up. Your redemption, your deliverance is close. Look up, lift up, and listen up for your salvation, because the Lord's coming. Now, I want to go to 1 Thessalonians 4 in the Bible and show you what's going to happen. And of course, we have it here as well. This is exactly how it's going to happen. And I feel like doing this tonight because it's amazing. Here's what it says. It says, for the Lord himself, that's Jesus, shall descend from heaven with a shout, you see. That's the return of Jesus. Let's face that. He's coming soon, and we're going to see him. I remember, I think I told you this before, I was preaching in a hall in South Antrim about maybe 10 years ago. And whenever I'd finished preaching, I came out to the door to shake hands with the people. And this lady shook my hand, and I said, good night, I'm glad to see you. Oh, she said, I came to see you. Oh, I said, good, good. Because I'd been doing quite a bit of talks on Radio Star, on the radio. And the radio had got to this place. And she'd been listening to me on the radio. And she sort of wondered what I was like. And she said, I came to see you tonight. And I sort of put my foot in it a bit. I said to her, are you disappointed? And she hesitated a bit. And then she pulled herself together. Oh, she said, no, I'm not disappointed. You know. But there you are. She was wondering what I was like. Mind you, we're wondering, aren't we, what Jesus will be like? And I tell you something, there'll not be one of us disappointed. Not be one of us disappointed. When we see Jesus, it'll be wonderful. It says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That's the return of Jesus, with a shout. He shouted three times. He shouted on the cross, it is finished, didn't he? He shouted at Lazarus' grave, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus did, after being 4 days dead. But here's a shout here. And Jesus is going to come to the air. And he's going to shout. It could be come up hither, because we have that in Revelation 4 and we have it in Revelation 11 to do with the two witnesses. And every Christian will hear that shout. It says in John chapter 10, my sheep, listen to it, my sheep hear my voice. You see? It says in John 5 that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You see? Will hear that. I remember as a boy, I used to bring the cows in for milking on the farm. I was brought up on a farm. And I used to go to the top of the field, and I used to look across the cows. There was about, I think, eight of them. And I used to say, come on, come on. You know what those cows did? They came up through the gate, and they went into the byre. Now, why'd they do that? Because they knew my voice. If one of you had come to the top of that field and shouted, come on, the cows would still have grazed on. They knew my voice, you see. In John 12, there's a crowd of people. God speaks down from heaven. And there's a crowd. Do you know what they thought it was? One nudged the other, and he said, did you hear the thunder? They thought God's voice was thunder. I tell you something. People who are not Christians, when the Lord comes and this shout rings out, they're going to look up and say to their friend, did you hear thunder? Because they don't know the voice of the Lord. You see? The Lord himself shall descend. Where have I gone here? I'm banging against that. There we are. So the seventh member of the shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Now notice this, the dead in Christ. Notice the word in Christ. Ephesians 2 said there was a time when we were without Christ. At the moment, there's a lot of people in this hall tonight, and they're in Christ. And when Jesus comes and takes you up to heaven, you'll be with Christ. Isn't that lovely? Wonder, are you in Christ tonight? Wonder, are you saved? That's complete. The dead in Christ. People who've died, we all have people who've passed away in our families. Christians. They're Christians. They're lovely to think. It says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Notice that. We have the return of Christ. We have the resurrection of the dead in Christ. Then it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, that's with the dead in Christ, in clouds. I believe that's clouds of Christians. I do believe there's not many clouds in the skies of the Middle East, but it's clouds of Christians. In clouds, it says, to what? To meet the Lord, notice it, in the air, not on the earth, in the air. That's what 1 Thessalonians 4 says. You see, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's an amazing thing. But we're going to be meeting the Lord. He's going to, you see, there's a few things there. The dead in Christ, there'll be a shout from heaven. There'll be signs, or there'll be what? In it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Where are we? Here we are here. Dead in Christ. There'll be scenes in graveyards. The dead people are going to be resurrected and receive their body. The old body is important, but it's going to be changed to a spiritual body. There'll be scenes in graveyards. But then, we which are alive and remain to be, there'll be space flight for the Christians. We'll be caught up. Just like Enoch in Genesis 5, just like Elijah in 2 Kings 2. They both went up to heaven. And there's 144,000 in Revelation 14, 144,000 Jews who are going to be caught up as well. That all happens in the Bible. But we are going to, you see, if the Lord was to come at this minute, all those who are Christians would rise. That's what the Bible says. But then there's a tragic thing here. There's the return of Jesus. There's the resurrection of the dead in Christ. There's the rapture of the living people. But what about the rest? The rest are going to remain. And that's the sad thing. The Lord's going to come to the air, and every Christian will rise. The Bible says there's going to be two people in the bed. One is going to go. And there are two women working at the food in the morning, grinding at the mill. One's going to go. The other, two people working in the field. One's going to go. And the other left. I was preaching in Castle Dawson there a few weeks back. And I was preaching on these subjects here. And after the meeting was over, I got very hot, you see. And I went outside for a breath of fresh air. But this man came out, and his wife, and his wife went on ahead into the car. And he come across to me. He said, "You know, I'm not saved." It's not too often people do that after a meeting. He says, "I'm not saved." I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that." But he says, "You see that wife of mine?" And she got into the car. He says, "She's saved." And he says, "According to what you were saying tonight about two people in a bed, if I woke up in the middle of the night and looked across and she wasn't there," this is what he said to me, "I would know that the Lord had come." And then I said to him, "Do you not want to be saved? Or would you like to have..." No, not tonight. He said, "I have to go home to feed the dog." Huh. What a climax, an anticlimax, I mean. And that's what's going to happen. One's going to go, and the other's going to be left. You see that? That's, and the people who remain. In the next chapter, chapter 25 of Matthew, there's 10 virgins, 10 girls. And 5 of them are unwise. 5 are not Christians, if you want to put it that way. And 5 are. And then in verse 10, here's what it says. In verse 10, it says, Jesus came. The bridegroom came. And they that were ready, you see, the people who were ready went in. And the door was shut. I remember our neighbors in another place we were in, and they came home one night, and they couldn't find the key. And they were shut out of their house. Door shut. And eventually they got in. But not so with heaven. Imagine the door of heaven been shut, as we have in Matthew 25. The door was shut, you see. And if Jesus came tonight, the door would be shut. Because those people came along, and here's what they said. They said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But the reply came back, "I know you not. I know you not." It's just like the flood. Do you remember the flood back in Genesis 6, 7? And the ark was built. And eventually, after Noah and his family went in, and then 7 days later, God waited 7 more days in long suffering, and then the door closed. And then the flood came. And I guarantee, when the rain started to come down, and they laughed at Noah. He was building a ship 20 miles from the sea, you see. And the people wondered what sort of a fool he was. But he was warned of God, according to Hebrews 11. And the rain started to fall. And I tell you, here's what must have happened. Those people, when the water started to rise, they must have raced to the side of that ark, and they must have shouted to Noah, "Noah, open the door." No. The door was shut. The door was shut. I remember being at a meeting one night, and there was a fella waited. It wasn't too far from Castle Dawson, Hifkel-Macherfeld. This fella waited, and he sat in his seat, yeah, down about halfway down on the right-hand side there, but he wouldn't get out of his seat. And I said, "What's the matter?" He says, "I want to be saved." He says, "I'm afraid of the Lord coming and me being left." And I got talking to him then and told him that he had committed, that the Bible said he had sinned, and Jesus died on the cross for his sin. And if he was to repent of his sin and trust what Jesus had done for him on that cross, he could be saved. Told him that. You know what he did? He just pushed his chair back, and he got down in front of the chair with his elbows on the seat of the chair. And I can remember it yet. He looked up to heaven. He says, "Lord, I've sinned against you. And I'm sorry, Lord." That was repentance, you see. And he said, I'm thankful that Jesus went to that cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago to die on that cross for my sins. And I'm thankful for that. And Lord, I'm coming to you now and I'm saying thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to that cross. And I want to be saved. And I'm coming now. That's what he prayed. And I listened to him. Lovely. And he got up and he shook his shoulders a bit. And he turned around to me and he smiled. Oh, he says, "I've got saved. Got saved." There's nothing nicer. There's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing that gives me a greater thrill than to see somebody coming to Jesus Christ and accepting what Jesus Christ has done for their sins on that cross at Calvary, and then seeing a smile coming to their face when they're saved. You know, somebody could do that in this meeting tonight. You don't necessarily need to come to me. I was preaching at a meeting in Enniskill not that long ago, and I just simply said you could lift your heart in this meeting just now, and you could tell God that you're sorry for your sins, and you believe what Jesus did on the cross for your sins, and you come, and you could be saved. We were told in Acts 16, there was a lady there. Do you know what it says about her? It says, Lydia was her name, it says, whose heart the Lord opened, and she received it. And she was saved. And that fella, his name was Aidan in his Gillen, a Catholic fellow. He was 41 years of age. And he just lifted up his heart and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and he became a Christian. Maybe somebody would do that tonight and you could be saved. And then we've looked at all these signs when Jesus comes. And he will, according to this lovely passage here in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout. People who are dead will be resurrected. People who are living will be caught up, raptured. But there's others going to be left. And that's the real sad thing about a meeting like this. When I come to this part of the meeting, I just pray tonight that someone here will find Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Let's just pray. Our Father, we come in the lovely name of Jesus, and we're thankful for a measure of help tonight and for this great subject of Jesus coming back, when we have seen many signs tonight and there are dozens more that we haven't even mentioned. Just touch this audience. Look, help those of us who are Christians tonight to live. Maybe the Lord could come. He could come tonight, but we might have a few more days and a few more days witness for those of us who are saved. But will we think of maybe someone in the meeting tonight who are not saved, who as yet don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Oh Lord, just give grace tonight, give help, and help people to be honest in their heart and to admit their sin and help them to see really what Jesus has done on that cross for their sin and help them to trust that. We pray this now in Jesus' lovely, precious name. Amen. Now our meeting is over. I'll go to the door and if you want to ask a further question, I'll be there. Not that I'll save you. The only one who can save you tonight is the Lord Jesus. But if you want to ask a question about something that I've said, I'll be glad to speak with you. Thank you.